Greetings in the divine light and love of the most radiant one. I'm Commander Lady Athena, and you're listening to the voice of the Ashtar Command. This evening our seminar topic is A Point of Light Within a Greater Light. So let's take a deep breath and call yourself forward in integrated conscious awareness and infuse your body with your soul, with your spiritual levels, with the deepest wish of your heart to be a consecrated co-worker at this time, in this great and decisive moment that has brought you to this planet in service. Ask to be brought into greater conscious awareness of those with whom you serve, both in the outer world and upon the inner planes. Ask for the overlighting of your divine higher spirit. Consecrate yourself now, if you so desire, if you wish, if you've not already done so. Consecrate yourself again to the service of all life in the love and in the name of the Most High Divine Source. Allow this sanctification to wrap about you as a mantle of light. You may feel that as an intense burning in the auric field. I'm feeling it like white flame just igniting my aura. And it feels like a warm blanket kind of pressed against my skin at the same time. We consecrate this time together to expand our awareness of our divinity, to activate and quicken the codes of living light, living sound, and living love that comprise our higher potentials, our higher vehicles of divine glory, that all that we have and can bear into this time-space continuum can be released through us in a way that's for our highest good and highest divine rate. We ask this in the name of the Lord Jesus the Christ, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and the Master alike of all the Masters, all the angels, and the sons and daughters of mankind. So, you, as an embodied light worker, a disciple or initiate, are always serving as a center of awareness. And as such, you are always functioning as a distribution point for the disseminating of specific energies, always from a source greater than your physical presentation. So in this seminar, we're going to be looking at some of the various groups and levels of energy that you may be serving to focalize and to radiate through your instrument at this time, and also to see how that operates. As an individual consciousness unit or soul, you are a point of light within a greater light. And so this forms the foundational principle here of what we're going to be looking at. You, as conscious awareness, are always the conduit for that which is the greater, the exponential higher upline level, dimension, or quotient that is operating through you. That applies to you as a personal level with regards to your high self, your soul, your monad. But it also applies to the master, the logos, and the greater oversouls, and the levels of the oversoul that you embody and source through you. So we all have a master. We all have a spiritual upline. We all have lineages of association and groups of co-workers. And the one thing you can never be, you lone wolves out there, you can never truly be alone. Because from the spiritual perspective, you're always moving in an inclusive action that incorporates more and more and more of the many of the one into the one of the many, which would be yourself. So even as the divine source at some point said, I am one, let me be many. We are that one expressed in time and space throughout a myriad of worlds as the many. So think of it this way. Your body is like a lamp. Your soul is the light bulb. Your wattage is equal to your light quotient. Your light quotient is your spiritual level of light integration. The power current is the divine spirit, and the light is God. And that is who you are in terms of your equipment and what it's designed to source and do. And what turns on your lamp is your intention, which serves as the light switch, which allows that light, power, current, and specific wattage to flow through you. The difference between an unawakened human being is that they have a very dim light bulb, just probably enough light to know that they're at least sentient. But as you begin to activate and quicken and integrate your higher levels into your physical body, your light and wattage begins to increase and increase until you become a mega wattage light bulb, like a cosmic avatar, like Sri Satya Sai Baba, for example. Just a mega, 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 mega wattage. And so the difference that we have within the human state and the various levels within the spiritual hierarchy, what we're talking of here is really a degree of wattage, isn't it? So we all seek to be able to host ever greater light within our mind, within our body, within our aura, within our ability to illumine ever-expanding levels of life. And as spiritual integration increases, so does our focus increasingly shift from the personal self and its little concerns in the physical world to the impersonal self. And what is the impersonal self? It's the self that has no attachment to outcome. Now, a master or an avatar who's come in for a specific purpose operates at a different level. But I'm talking about most of us that are light workers. We become increasingly disinterested in looking back and critiquing how effective we think we've been in serving our mission. We begin to lose interest in the personal self and its glory. And we begin to just be aware of how what we have done sits within our inner consciousness. Because we all know when we've done our best, we feel exercised in the deepest levels of our being. And there's that sense of well-being when you have done well. And when you have stepped off into the ego and have wandered off in the rabbit trails of confusion, you also feel that within yourself, and it doesn't sit well. So you only need to discern how you feel within your heart and your innermost core essence to know whether or not you have fulfilled your function. That's the only thing you need to look at. How it works out in the outer world is really none of your business. and the less attention we pay to our press and to what people write about us in the media or say about us online, the better. I suggest you don't even Google yourself anymore, because you're going to see the good news and the criticizing in the same thing. So why burden your consciousness with that? Keep free and be the master of your own inner house of consciousness. So as soul, you begin to live a life focused upon serving others. And that only increases as the soul and the monad, your spirit, begin to totally inhabit every area of your life until you literally become Christ-like and God-like in every way. And there are levels of Christship. There's the Christed inner awareness, which we could call the soul, or Christ consciousness. And then there are the levels of Christing, which take you into the oversoul levels, until you become, perhaps eventually, if you're on that ray line of service, a paradise son of God, such as Christ Jesus and Christ Michael. So that concept of the Christ has an exponential expansion multidimensionally through time and space, and multiple embodiments that step down that anointed messianic savior energy into the time-space continuums of myriads of worlds. So we need to expand also our understanding of what the Christ is, so that we do not box it and confine it and put a religious label on it of exclusivity, because that would be totally in opposition to what Jesus as the Christ came to release to us and to impart to us. So our spiritual practices, all of them, are simply for the purpose of integrating greater light into our mind, into our emotions, into our physical body, and make room so that the soul itself, that conscious awareness unit itself, can fully operate through the body-mind complex as its instrument of manifestation on the earth. Now, there are many ways that advanced initiates and masters get here, get down here, and we're in the time of the externalization of the hierarchy. So it's important that we realize that many, many great souls, masters, avatars, and their disciples, their co-workers, have come in great numbers now, and they're upon the physical planet. And they've come here either through physical birth, the overlay of a higher state of their soul, or their oversoul, or their consciousness, walking in and displacing maybe one who has chosen to work at another level, or has chosen to vacate that aspect for whatever reason. And then there is the creation mentally of what is called a Maya Virupa, or illusory form, which is a mind-constructed physical body that the masters make and then adopt or appropriate and operate for a period of time. And they can also immortalize those bodies indefinitely. They need to be refurbished about every 3,000 years, but they're good to go indefinitely. And some of the masters operate in the Maya Virupa, and some of the masters have actually stepped from the astral plane and densified their astral bodies into physical embodiment. And then there's also the process of where they take physical incarnation, but at one of the three higher levels of the physical plane, which are basically invisible to our third dimensional vision. These would be etheric bodies of light. And that's actually what humanity is gradually beginning to move into, are those higher levels of the physicality, which are less dense and more ethereal, but still physical enough on that level. So I wanted to share with you that there are very, very many souls who have taken embodiment now that have been preparing for what is now taking place, which is not only the externalization of the hierarchy, but the reappearance and returning of the Christ. And again, the return of the Christ, the reappearance of the Christ, is taking multidimensional manifestations, which will also eventually include an actual physical manifestation onto the earth plane. But for now, we are in that preparatory stage. And there are many, many disciples of the, what you would call the Great White Brotherhood, the Syrian High Council, and those beings who have come here as volunteer spirits from other worlds, which are many of you that listen to this program. And they're everywhere, in every country throughout the world. And these are highly evolved men and women who are found at this time working along specific lines that were intended for them to find and to begin to operate in. And they're operating places of prominence. Many of them are in places where they can reach many. And their bodies and their consciousness is sufficiently prepared and pure to permit of the overlighting of this higher level, either of themselves, of their master, or of the groups and oversouls that they are an expression of in time and space. In the case of those who have been consecrated since childhood, who've been servers of the race all of their lives, who in previous lives have acquired the right to be utilized more fully, there is a threefold overlighting of the consciousness which takes place. And I'm speaking now of the sequential infusion of that Christic energy as it pours down over humanity. It's received in various ways. First, an impression upon the physical brain of a man or woman of thoughts. These would be inspired thoughts, thoughts that simply, like the light bulb, lights up in their mind. These would involve plans for work or ideals or inspirations and intentions, which actually emanate from the Christ, but yet will be unrecognized by that person as being anything other than their own thoughts. And so they will go about proceeding to put them into action, all the while being unconsciously helped by the divine force that is flooding in and empowering them. And this is literally a form of higher mental telepathy working out on the physical levels. I think we can probably all relate to that, because there's been times when we felt an extreme inspiration to get involved in something that was bigger than ourselves, bigger than our own life, and to make a contribution, to do something significant for our planet, our world, and our humanity. And this is what that first level of higher mental telepathy involves. The second level of infusion that is impacting a more advanced level of consciousness would be the overlighting of a specific student of a master, whether it be a disciple or an initiate. And that overlighting occurs whenever he's or she is working, such as lecturing, me doing this radio seminar right now. I am overlighted at this time. And the lecturing or the writing or the teaching or whatever you're presenting, and you feel this higher influence begin to source through you, that is the higher level of work that begins to impact people. And many people who receive this kind of illumination for service will be conscious of the anointing, but perhaps unable to explain it, and will seek to be more and more available for use by rendering his instrument up in utter selflessness to the inspiration of his Lord. And this is what I certainly try to do with each radio seminar. You just pray that you can be empty of self and full of his thoughts, his mind, his directives, and what he wants to say through this body-mind complex to you, his people. So this kind of work is accomplished through soul infusion. I'm operating from a level of soul integration and infusion. And so that force of energy coming from my spiritual upline floods my soul body, and the light then flows through my instrument in this particular transmission. And there is another way also, but it's extremely rare that it is used, although I wonder how rare it is going to be, because I understand that there are at least 25, I'm not going to go into that. Let's skip that for now. The third way that this light infusion works is through the conscious cooperation of a disciple who is actually a consecrated initiate of a particular master and therefore can be trusted in this particular type of overlighting. And in this case, with a full knowledge of the laws of his own spiritual being and his nature, he yields himself and steps out of his physical body, handing it over to the use of the great Lord or one of his masters. And this is only possible in the case of a disciple who has brought all three of his lower bodies into alignment and necessitates the unfolding of a specific chakra. So by an act of conscious will, he offers his physical body and stands aside for a specific length of time. And these particular methods of overlighting will be largely used only by the great Lord, the Christ, and his masters at the very, it could be at any point now, because this is actually the time in which these great advents and overshadowings, or overlighting, I prefer to say, is going to increasingly be utilized. We're right in the middle of it right now. We're just seeing the externalization of the planetary and celestial hierarchies of light taking place in so many ways, and so many of you are part of that process. And that's what I want to speak to now. I think more than anything else, my passion is to get the closeted Christs out of the closet. That would be all of you who have immense spiritual giftings, but for whatever reason are still hiding in the closet of the personal lower self or personal self-limitation. And always know that what you're called to do by the Most High is always going to be beyond your ability. It's going to require your yielding your instrument to the empowerment and the anointing and the overlighting of that which is greater. Just know that we're always going to be inadequate to the task. That's where that higher level gets to show up and show off, and the glory of God gets to be manifested. So there are three major types of souls that are in embodiment on the earth, I would say probably in general. Those would be the ordinary evolving souls. That would be individual GVs or individualized consciousness that is here seeking development. They're trying to become more developed in their human nature, in their ability to function here. And they're governed, I would say, by what is called the light of experience. They're seeking experience and to gain awareness and greater understanding and knowledge through that experience. Second, they're the adepts, those initiates who have mastered the human stage of development and are now basically moving into the superhuman levels, what should be called the third kingdom, moving into the fourth and into the fifth kingdom. The fifth kingdom being the kingdom of souls. And so they're guided by the light of knowledge, and their desire is to develop wisdom out of that knowledge. And then you have the avatars. There are many different levels and types of avatars. An avatar is a divine embodiment that has come into a planet that's not their native place. An avatar is not made but comes in fully as an avatar. And they're here in service from a higher dimension or world or state of existence beyond the earth. And they are guided by the light of being. Although they could be from any dimension or any plane and could be embodiments of any particular divine aspect or quality or principle, there are the rare purna or full avatars that come in. And so far as I know, there have been two. One is the avatar Sri Satya Sai Baba, and the other is one that I met who is a full embodiment, purna avatar of the Divine Mother, and that was Sri Ananda Moima, that Yogananda wrote about in his wonderful book, Autobiography of a Yogi. So I have been for many years in association with Sai Baba and have been several times to sit in the presence of Sri Ananda Moima before she passed away, or let's say took Mahasamadhi. So, only at the basic human level does one experience themselves as separate and alone, or for that matter as an individual, because the spiritual levels are always collectives, and the higher levels of awareness of the soul and the monad or spirit or I am presence, whatever you want to call it, those are all expressed as the we of group consciousness. So with spiritual integration, we began to move more from me and mine to a sense of we and ours. And the higher levels, being group consciousness, you began to affect larger and larger groups of people the more you have integrated your higher spiritual levels. They are integrated for the purpose of being disseminated in wider arenas of effectiveness and impact. So we keep growing and expanding and including more and more into our aura of influence, much like the process of cell division. I find the mitosis process of the cell division replicates how we as soul individualize and manifest in these multidimensional levels. So the principle here that we're operating from is that we are always the one as the many, and the many as the one, or the one in the many and the many in the one. So we are in God, and God is in us as us. So once the human mind and the emotions and the physical body are integrated and aligned and in touch with our true self or soul, we begin to exert a powerful influence within our personal arena of life, and it keeps expanding. It affects our work life, our social life, our every relationship that we have, both in the outer world and on the inner planes, is affected by the radiatory influence of our field of light. And this influence expands with each level of initiation. In fact, you can look at initiation as expansion of awareness into to greater, responsibility for one thing. Greater light expansion and awareness, and with that, of course, comes greater responsibility or response ability to spirit at that particular level. So I think that probably makes it a little bit clearer to you in terms of light and things of that nature, because if we don't understand that everything gets onto the planet through our human instruments. We miss the whole process of why we're here and what our purpose is. Our purpose is always to bring the light of divine source, the love of divine source, the intelligent activity of divine source, the will of divine source, the perfect divine pattern of divine source present into time and space and through our human instrumentality. So as it expands, we affect in our radius, as I said before, ever-widening arenas of influence. First, our specific home and area, neighborhood, city, county, state, all of that. And then the planet, and then the solar system, then the galaxy, the universe, the cosmos, and on, ever-expanding radiatory potency and impact. And our particular solar system is under the second ray of synthesis and love wisdom. So everything becomes subsumed in the divine love and wisdom of God at the end of this incarnational yuga or cycle of time. And the purpose of our planet Earth is to exemplify intelligent activity wedded and guided by loving wisdom. So there you have the purpose of the planet and the solar system, and also how we dovetail in that process as individual conduits for that process. So we're also in contact with various groups upon the inner planes. First of all, you have your soul group. From that soul group, you'll have the spiritual school or ashram of consciousness that is represented by the expansion of your master teacher's influence. You as a master teacher or a master teacher in training or an aspirant to becoming a teacher also have your little pod group of influence that keeps expanding. People that look up to you as a mentor or an inspiration or a way shower. So we always have an eternal relationship here. We're always reaching up to the next level in our progression. We're always reaching down to the one coming up behind us to pull them up and help them along the way. And we're always the servant on the level in which we have gained our expertise. So that is always a progression. We never lose that sense of the chain of hierarchy, the chain of association that we have. So whenever you attend any spiritual group, at least three times, you come under the scrutiny of those forces or energies or masters or religious entities or whatever that govern that particular group. And they're looking you over to see if you are one of theirs. And if you are one of theirs, if you have found your group, you will find yourself becoming involved in that group. If you make a commitment to study with that particular group, you are then drawn into the outer periphery of that group and come into what is called a probationary status. And the master or masters or initiates or beings that are radiating into that group and ensouling it are looking to see if there is a suitable fit. And if you are in that group for the long haul, you're part of that soul group, and you've literally found your spiritual pod in the outer world, which is happening more and more these days, then you're going to tuck in and become a diligent student. As you demonstrate more commitment or become an initiate to that teacher or disciple of that master, you begin to move more fully into direct association with the inner circle. You begin to move from the periphery, and you earn the trust and the right to approach the inner circle until finally, when you've been proven trustworthy, you are incorporated into the inner circle which basically holds that energy template of that particular master's consciousness, consistent in time and space. And that consistent anchoring in time and space is called an ashram. So when you can be trusted, really trusted, to never import negativity or any kind of disruptive energy into the aura of your teacher, your master, you are then drawn closer into his or her aura. You earn the right of direct association. And when you can be fully trusted 100% in living the impersonal life of a true initiate, loyal, selfless, with no trace of ego, with a pure heart, then and only then do you have constant and immediate and ongoing access to that master. And you begin to sense that that master lives in you, and you live in that master. You inhabit each other's hearts, and those hearts become as one. And such a stage is often called being a son of the master, or a spiritual daughter of the master. But I have to tell you, many are the tests of loyalty to spirit that one has to undergo to qualify for that level of intimacy with the master. And gosh, we cannot be disloyal in the slightest thought. And the loyalty is really to spirit, but I would have to say it also includes your physical master's good name in the world. So you often see Christians that will go to martyrdom or go through terrible torture rather than to deny and betray and be disloyal to their master. And that's the real test of a true disciple. So such a person that has earned that intimacy with the master becomes a direct emanation of that master's consciousness at all times. And to see such a disciple is exactly the same as seeing the master. So there are also groups that we mentor at various stages of our development. For example, as one awakens and forms a heart connection with a minimum of 9 other people, one becomes known as a person of goodwill. And this group of men and women of goodwill, their job is to draw the unawakened masses of humanity that they come into contact with into the light in some manner. And this group is, of course, the largest one at the present time upon the planet. And it is responsible for inserting positive ideas and exerting a uplifting influence wherever such people live or work or express or whatever they put their hands to create and share with the planet. And from this group of men and women of goodwill expands another group. And this is a service group, and spiritual integration of energy, which is called the New Group of World Servers. And this grouping of individuals calls for greater spiritual integration, which is demonstrated by harmlessness, nonviolence and harmlessness. This would include not only what you do, but the words you speak and the thoughts you think, so that you do not allow any prejudice or critical comments or negative speech or slander or gossip to pass from your mouth. That is the discipline for the new group of world service. You must be committed to harmlessness of speech and harmlessness of thought. If you're harmless in speech and thought, you will, by natural proclivity, be harmless in your actions. So the new group of world servers is committed to to practicing and promoting unconditional active goodwill towards all amongst the men and women of humanity. Now, from this group, aspirants to discipleship are selected because the hierarchy of masters is always looking for those candidates who qualify for training in self-mastery. They're going to be the masters of the coming age, and they have to go through a process of training. And they're usually trained upon the inner planes in the night travel when they're asleep, their bodies are asleep. They're trained by very subtle telepathic impression that impacts their soul and their higher mental vehicle. And usually they're brought into contact with one of their working disciples or initiates that are operating in the outer world. So you're not trained directly by a master, but usually by one of their disciples or initiates, which I sometimes refer to as agents of our divine destiny. And as I said before, gradually such a disciple earns the right of access and contact with the master. Often this occurs in the dream or a vision, sometimes, rarely, but sometimes by an actual manifestation of that master's form, if it's necessary, either through overlighting somebody that's in the world or through actually manifesting a form in your immediate vicinity. You know, the masters don't waste time doing parlor tricks, but if there's a need to for that type of interaction, they can just as easily step forward at any point in time and space and appear to you if it's necessary. So the disciples and initiates of these masters teach and mentor the awakening aspirants as they become more and more able to integrate into that inner plane group or ashram of the master, and eventually to have direct contact with the master. Now, because there's an externalization of the ashrams and the masters onto the physical plane now, there will eventually be, I understand, at least 40 masters living in the outer world. And they will have ashrams that are on the physical plane. There will be sacred geometric structures that people can actually walk into and take initiation and go through the ascension process with the Hierophants and the Masters, exactly like they did before the fall of Atlantis. So that's pretty exciting because we're living in the time when we can expect to see and participate more consciously with these Masters and these outposts of the Masters' ashrams on the physical plane. So thus you can see we become, each one of us, outposts for the radiatory influence, the darshan, if you will, or presence of our master. As ordinary human beings, everyone is developing their center of intelligence and their creative expression and sense of purpose. That's every human being, it seems, is trying to be creative, trying to find a way to express themselves in some unique fashion. And everybody seeks a higher, well, they're all seeking a purpose or a significance in most cases, if they're starting to awaken at least. As soul integrated individuals, we are radiatory centers of loving wisdom in service. And thus, as souls, we actually manifest in time and space the heart of God. As spirits, that is to say monadically infused individuals, we become embodiments of the divine will in fulfilling the divine plan. The divine plan varies with the logos that is in presiding over a particular age or a particular period of time. And as I said before, the plan of this logos is that we should know God as love and become embodiments and outposts of that love and wisdom in time and space. So, how does the greater light of our Master and our inner plane associations operate through us? Well, we can receive inspirational ideas and thoughts. And these higher thoughts are received by mental telepathy. And these higher thoughts can find receptivity in our mind. And they can be coming from the subconscious or high self or from our soul or from angels or inner plane mentors, spirit guides, those who have passed on already to the other side, your star family, your inner plane co-workers. There's so many levels we can receive telepathic and inspirational input from. Again, we can receive it through overlighting of a higher being or angel or your master. And you can be overlit by your future self or some aspect of your oversoul. And you can radiate that spiritual influence and affect many people in that manner. You can write, you can give lectures, you can speak, teach, serve. And this overlighting could also be called a mantle, overshadowing, or the anointing. So in this instance, we learn to discern carefully what it is exactly we are hosting and giving voice to, what influences we are hosting. Positive divine influences always honor the Lord of Lords, Christ Jesus, and will never attempt to possess, control, or take over your body, mind, or life. Positive influences are always honoring your free will and personal space. Then there are other ways as well, but these are employed only with very advanced souls and in the case of avatars and those on special assignment. I think these could also include the time travelers, the future self integrations, people like myself that I call timeshare condos, which is kind of like sharing a family car or a timeshare condo. We extraterrestrial souls often do that. And then there are the walk-ins for various reasons. There's all sorts of ways that we can manifest ourselves here. But regardless, always know that you as a spiritual being are here and have soul legal rights to your body, your mind, your soul, and your life. And only you should host your body and make the conscious decisions in your life. So never host anyone who tries to take control of you, and certainly not by manipulation or force. What we need now more than anything are conscious mediators, people who can serve as conscious multidimensional bridges and conduits for higher spiritual or higher spiritual intuitives who can operate from levels of spiritual infusion and integration. We also need seers, those who can see into the interdimensional planes from soul awareness and intuit the directives of the divine spirit. We need visionaries who can illumine and point the way, who can exercise also a vanguard of leadership. Because we need those who can envision where we're headed. What we need to develop, I would say probably across the board, is continuity of consciousness. And continuity of consciousness is to be able to cross over from one level or state of consciousness without going unconscious. And that's very challenging. You could practice lucid dreaming. That's something that will help. You can practice writing down your dreams and your thoughts immediately upon awakening. That helps to bridge those levels. You can do any kind of dreaming techniques that will assist you to find some way to awaken in those dreams and in those levels. And if you get real good at it, you can actually change the scenery in your dreams, cause dreams to appear and disappear at will. You can get real good at that. if you expend the time to practice. Exercising while you're chanting your initiatory soul tone is very important if you're a practitioner of soul travel like myself and many that I'm speaking to. And as you meditate and practice going into the higher states of consciousness, try to stay wide awake. This staying conscious is very challenging when one is operating above the astral and mental levels. The astral level is your imaginative level. The causal level, which is higher emotion, is your emotional level. And they're just full of these wonderful devotional states and beautiful colors and interesting scenarios. And they all kind of want to distract you and get you to follow these various rabbit trails. But you know, you're not going to stop there. That's just one of many levels that you move through. And then the mental planes have all these imponderable thoughts that one would like to ponder and pursue. You know, you find yourself mentally, chasing all sorts of rabbit trails of thought. The monkey mind, as it's called, distracts you into all different levels of the mental planes. And so there's a lot of visual imagery in the astral, causal, and mental levels. And then you get into the etheric, which is the great void. And it's just that, a void. And it's often experienced as a swirling or dizzy or spinning nothingness. In fact, if you ever had an experience where you find yourself abruptly slam dunked back into your body, or you feel like you fall down into yourself, I don't know how to explain it other than that. It's exactly, you feel like you suddenly get dizzy and you fall into yourself and then you wake up. That's when you have come from the etheric plane back into the physical. So that's not very pleasant, actually. And sometimes it frightens people to where they don't want to go back inside because they don't want to experience that. So these are all fears and hesitations and distractions and things that you have to bypass in order to move into pure awareness and that higher divine state that we would like to be in, that is conscious divine awareness. At the soul realm, the experience is one of such absorption and divine ecstasy in the living word of God that you tend to just go unconscious there because you get lost in it. You're just enraptured in it. And then the realms above soul are formless and beyond name, beyond form, beyond definition, beyond conditioning, and they're called the inaccessible realms. And they are that, the Agam Desh and the Anami Desh, these lands that are so inaccessible and formless. And these are the planes of the isness. And just try to stay conscious in those levels. So it's practice, 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 practice. And, not faulting yourself when you fall asleep and go unconscious, but just try to find some way to track your awareness inwardly. That's the main thing, and to challenge yourself. You know, to find ways that you can practice little techniques that keep you alert and aware. So I hope this has been informational and inspirational for you this evening, and it's given you a bit more understanding of how we get more of us into us, and out of us, and into the world in service. Let's raise our palms outward to the planet and speak the light, the love, the bliss, the awareness of the highest divine levels and sources into the sons and daughters of mankind, all ages, all nations, all peoples. May all awaken to the love that they are. May all come to experience the peace of the Divine Presence. And may we all awaken and find ourselves happily at home in the very heart of God, having never left except in a temporary dream and holographic computerized play. And so let's go out chanting on I Hear. Deep breath. Anai Hugh. Baruch Hashem Adonai. Blessed is the name of the Lord. Adonai.